The biggest story today in Atlanta, obviously Brian Snicker stepping down as manager of the Braves, transitioning to an advisory role. So the search for a new manager begins in the offseason. Alex Anthopoulos certainly with a lot of work to do to cover all that and more on Chris Thomas tonight. Let's welcome in our good friend Lindsey Crosby. Make sure you check out the Braves Today podcast every single day and on YouTube. Lindsey, first of all, just a note on Snit, his legacy as a manager, one of the best to ever do it for the Braves, and he'll leave a lasting legacy.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Snicker is, believe it or not, the third winningest coach this organization's ever had. The top two guys ahead of him are both in the Baseball Hall of Fame. One of them is obviously Bobby Cox. The other one's a coach from Boston from like 1899. But AA, the players have all talked about how the clubhouse atmosphere, the culture, is one of the big things in Atlanta that sets them apart from everywhere else in the league. And Brian Snicker does that. He's the guy that built that. And he just took over the team as the interim when they fired Freddy Gonzalez. And the reason he got hired on full time was because the players rallied around him. They recognized how good of a person he was, how good of a leader he was, and they pushed for the front office to give him the full-time job. So he's going to go down in history as one of the best Braves managers, again, right behind Bobby Cox, and he's going to be in the Braves Hall of Fame next year.
When it comes to looking ahead to the future, how soon do you think they'll make a decision, and who are some names you think that we should be on the lookout for?
So this feels like something Atlanta is going to probably want to do sooner rather than later, simply because they have an important offseason. And one of the biggest things that they need to figure out is, can they get shortstop Ha-Seong Kim to stick around on his player option? That manager is obviously a big part of that. Because of Atlanta liking continuity, I've already talked to some people that have said to watch out for current bench coach Walt Weiss, you know, former Braves player. He's been with Brian Snicker for a while now, but promoting him from the bench coach to the manager would give them the ability to retain a lot of the current staff, Rick Kranitz, Tim Hires, Freddy Gonzalez, Eddie Perez, and give the Braves a lot of continuity since they don't turn over the roster a lot. He already knows everybody. He has a managerial experience. Outside of that, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Continue.
Sorry. Outside of that, a guy like David Ross makes a ton of sense as somebody who's played in Atlanta. The fans know him. He's young enough to understand the modern game. He understands analytics. And has a desire to get back into coaching. He's been a manager before. He's also available. And he does give you the ability to bring in somebody that's still related to the old school Atlanta Braves, but is not from that same coaching tree. If you're the kind of person who thought this year's team's issues were partly because of a lack of leadership or fire or accountability, bringing somebody who understands Atlanta but isn't part of that same group who was just here is really appealing as well. So David Ross makes a ton of sense to me as one of the main guys to get interviewed.
You mentioned sort of the Atlanta DNA. While Walt Weiss certainly has that, I would make the argument, Lindsey, that it just all sort of felt a little stale this year, and bringing in a new, younger voice might be what the team needs.
That is kind of where I am as well. And that's why I think rather than somebody like Walt Weiss, I like the idea of going, you know, you could go not completely outside of Atlanta, but somebody who's never coached here. George Lombard is somebody who spent three seasons with the Braves, became the Dodgers' first base coach, won a World Series there, is currently coaching with the Tigers. Also doesn't hurt, his son's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft as a prep shortstop this year, and you'll have a top 10 pick. Ryan Flaherty is a name of a guy who played for Atlanta, currently coaching with the Cubs. I've heard somebody mention that to me today as somebody to watch out for here. But I do think the idea of going completely outside of everything, a Gabe Kapler, a Skip Schumacher, if you can get Skip out of Texas, them casting a wide net to try to see is a brand new voice these guys have never heard. Is that going to be what we need to get this team back in the playoffs next year?
Speaking of casting a wide net, what do you do with Ozzie Albies?
It feels like it's almost a guarantee you pick up his option. The difference in the $7 million club option and the $4 million buyout, that $3 million bucks doesn't really get you anything in free agency. So you pick up the club option, But I feel like with Ozzie now, another broken bone. We saw how he struggled with power earlier this year after the wrist injury. You need a backup plan for Ozzie. I think that provided Ha-Sung Kim comes back, I think now you need to find somebody who you're comfortable playing in the middle infield. You're comfortable playing in center field. If you need to give Michael Harris a blow, that becomes a much bigger deal than it was before. But you got to bring him back simply because you're still paying $4 million if he leaves, and you're not going to get anything on the market with that $3 million difference.
If you asked this question, or if I asked you this question 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I think you would have laughed me off the phone, but is there a real chance Raisel Iglesias comes back?
I actually think there is. We mentioned it earlier, the Braves are big into continuity. After the All-Star break, he was one of the best relievers in baseball. And with the way that the closer market is looking like it could be a little bit deep this year with Edwin Diaz opting out and things like that, it would make a lot of sense for both Raisel and the team if they can get him on a bit of a discount to bring him back, simply because most teams don't want to give multi-year deals to relievers in their upper 30s. And if he takes a one-year deal with somebody else, he's entering free agency in what is expected to be a lockout offseason. It's probably pretty easy to get him on a two-year deal to come back to Atlanta, but I think they'll push for a discount given how rough he was in the first half of the year.
How many other high-leverage arms do you think they need to bring in? Because I think you can make the argument they just went an entire season without a setup, man.
They did. And the big thing with this is they went for quantity over quality last year. They brought in 15 relievers on minor league deals. None of them made it to the end of the season. I think that they, even if they re-sign Iglesias, you'll get Joe Jimenez back. They need to get one other arm and preferably a lefty, simply because Dylan Lee, you saw how later in the year he had issues with home runs. He was really overused this year. But I don't think they have the trust in Aaron Bummer to be a high-leverage guy. I don't think they have the trust in Dylan Dodd to be a high-leverage guy. So I want to see one more high-leverage reliever and somebody who you would not be afraid to try out at closer if Raisel Iglesias struggles again to start next year, assuming you bring him back.
Talking all things Braves with our buddy Lindsey Crosby. Make sure you check out the pod and video every single day, Braves Today, wherever you get your podcasts. It looks like the rest of the lineup, Lindsay, should be intact. The outfield, I don't think they're going to make any changes there with the way Profar finished up. We know Riley will be back. We know Matt Olson will be back, obviously. We talked about the middle infield. The catching position is solid, if not spectacular. So it looks like maybe just the bench will need some retooling when it comes to the everyday lineup.
That's definitely an area of focus, and Atlanta not having a set DH next year should be able to give playing time if they find a starting caliber piece. That's something the A's talked about before. They say they struggle to build a bench because they can't promise you any playing time whatsoever because everybody plays every day. I do think something that they may look into doing is getting an outfielder, because you can rotate Jurickson Profar through DH. You can rotate Ronald Acuña Jr. through DH to give them some time off. If you can find a starting caliber outfielder, you can still give everybody some at-bats and playing time until somebody gets hurt, because somebody's going to get hurt. They always get hurt. And then you'll have three starting caliber outfielders left. And that's something Atlanta's not really had. You've always had to run somebody who was below average out there, whether it was Jared Kelnick, Stuart Fairchild, something like that. So I do think bolster the bench a bit, but they may go for a starting caliber outfielder to add to the mix just to have an injury replacement when it comes up.
Do you feel like this team needs also a little boost of athleticism?
They're one of the worst base running teams in the league. And I feel like you have a couple pieces, right? Eli White, they don't use him enough as a pinch runner and a guy that can steal. But overall, it's not a super athletic lineup. And I do think you've seen a little bit in the postseason, the Guardians have been kind of a great example of that, how that athleticism can put other teams on edge and can give you an advantage in specific situations. I would not hate to see either the bench piece they add or the outfielder that they add be somebody who's adept at stolen bases, who can take an extra base on a base hit, something things that the Braves have not been good at simply because If they're working on drawing walks, if they're working on stringing together multiple hits, give me a guy who can score from first on a base hit, you know, on a double, or can score from second on a single. Give me that guy. And Atlanta doesn't really have enough of those right now.
Lindsay, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking out the pod and we'll chat soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Lindsay Crosby there of Braves Today. All right. When we get back, let's continue to honor and salute Snit. Brandon Gaudin, the voice of the Braves, stopped on with Dukes and Bell. You don't want to miss his perspective on Brian Snicker and what his outlook is for the team. We'll continue that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.